You know the saying, history helps us understand who we are and where we're going. But a common refrain among many Black Americans is that we know very little about our ancestors and our history on this land. There are many reasons for this, but one is that up until the end of enslavement, Black Americans weren't considered people, but rather property. That changed in 1865 when the government established the Freedmen's Bureau, a program that was meant to assist formerly enslaved people to live as free people. In the process, the Bureau created millions of records that contain details of the hundreds of thousands of formerly enslaved. And now we have access to those records thanks to an ambitious project by Ancestry.com. They've created the world's largest digital collection of these records, everything from marriage and land documents to never-before-seen photographs and census records.
Hi, I'm Yakota Strong, and I'm joining from San Antonio, Texas. Since the time I was about 7 years old, I became very interested once I realized just how large my immediate family was, discovering that I had half siblings. So there's a total of about 10 of children from my father, as well as my mom, who came from a family of 13 children. Over the years, I had been using Ancestry, and recently I was able to find my third great grandfather, Butch Davis, along with many other family members. Then I also located that my family worked for a Creole family who actually enslaved other Africans over the years prior to 1870. This was a shock to us. This experience has opened my eyes to just how complex the institution of slavery really is. It's made me aware that there's more context for my family and I to understand.
Yakota Strong is one of many Black Americans who have accessed their ancestry records since they were released back in September. And Regina Vaughn of Philadelphia was recently able to answer questions about her mother's family tree.
I'm Regina Vaughn. I live in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. My mother, after the Roots series in the 80s, traveled the country interviewing the elders because she was said she was going to find her people. And she published a book in 1986 on our family's roots. Fast forward to 2010, I traveled to Cameroon, West Africa, and my life was changed forever. I picked up Mom's genealogy work, and I've been obsessed with this journey ever since. I started on Ancestry, building my tree. I was able to find three lines of family. When I read it, I actually cried. I still get choked up because basically, in the words of Bryan Stevenson, slavery didn't end, it just evolved.
Slavery didn't end, it just evolved. Those are the powerful words of Regina Vaughn, who recently discovered more of her family's ancestry. And one of the genealogists behind this ambitious project is Nika Sewell Smith. And Nika joins us now from Tennessee. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes. You've been digging deep into genealogy ever since you were a little girl, and your obsession started with your own family history. But like many Black Americans, putting the pieces of the puzzle together wasn't easy. Tell us more.
Right. Early on, you know, a lot of us, we have to rely on oral history or perhaps even documents and photos that have been left behind by, you know, perhaps our parents, grandparents, or maybe even further back. Some of us are even lucky to have a family Bible where someone was able to write down birth dates and death dates and maybe even baptisms of our ancestors. But not everyone is you know, poised to be in that position to have the documents and to even have the oral history. And so when you have to start from basically nothing, you know, you're really reliant on access to records, whether it's online or access in person. And so, you know, for one branch of my family, I was super lucky to have those photos and those documents and the oral history passed down. But on the other three branches of my family, I did not fare so well. So, you know, I got some good, you know, in-line training, you know, on the job training, so to speak, and having to dig through records to really unearth and compose and put together this masterpiece that is my family history.
Yeah. And this process took you 20 years. What are some details that you learned about who your ancestors were?
My gosh. I mean, you have everything from people who were advocating for the rights of freedmen of the Cherokee Nation to individuals who were seminal parts of the civil rights movement later. In addition to that sort of thing, you know, just all kinds of stuff, people running brothels and stills and, you know, everything from that to the preachers and the teachers and, you know, the first generation of college graduates and seeing, you know, those people's names as alumni. And then even more so, when you do your family history, you're able to connect back to those seminal events in a different way, because it's not, you know, this person or these beings that you know existed for you to be here, but you actually have a name and information that you can call out that will tie directly back to those names.
It helps you understand yourself better.
Absolutely. I think there are parts of me that I've totally found in a number of my ancestors. There's one of my ancestors that wrote a letter to the editor and literally used the phrase, put it in your pipe and smoke it, in the 1890s.
Oh my God.
I was cracking up, but I was like, oh my gosh, I love stuff like that because it just helps you learn about them outside of the facts and the figures. You know, people talk about the dash between the dates and, you know, while all the facts give us that really, you know, tangible information, like when they were born and where they were born. I love the dash stuff like that, that gives you their personality and, you know, gives you a feel of who they were as people.
The dash. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about this Ancestry.com project, this Freedmen's Bureau collection. I mean, I can imagine filtering through them and digitizing them was a daunting project. We're talking millions of records.
Yes, 3.2 million records make up this collection, and it is voluminous. I mean, when you think about the scale and the size of the Freedmen's Bureau, it is comparable to the 1880 and 1870 U.S. Census nationally. So the fact that it is just now in this iteration, you know, where it's more easily accessible and searchable, you know, it's almost like at one point, you know, it was expected for people who were interested in this to go page by page through the U.S. Census. No one would ever expect for anybody to do that now. And, you know, it just covered so many aspects of American life, you know, from schools to rations and clothing, labor contracts, courts. You have everything from that to letters and circulars. I mean, you know, which we call those flyers today. It's an incredible way to take not so much a bird's eye view, but literally like drilling down like into the front yard of Reconstruction to learn about what was going on in our country as it tried to stabilize itself after the Civil War. And as we as Americans learned how to, you know, deal with and treat each other, especially with regard to the change in relations from people going from being enslavers to being employers and being the formerly enslaved to being employees of those former slaveholders and former, and new bosses.
These records you helped digitize, where were they previously held? And did people have access to them before this?
Right. So the actual documents are held by the National Archives in Washington, D.C. And so before the microfilm process took place, which, you know, that was the initial way of preserving the records. And so, you know, before that microfilming process started, which really it sort of began in like the late 70s and the early 80s, you would have to actually go and look at the actual documents. And then even the thing that a lot of folks don't realize is at the time, when the Bureau records were gathered up and, you know, basically given to the National Archives, they were a mess. Stuff was kind of all over the place. And so people sometimes, you know, they don't understand the enormity of it because it's just stuff seems like it's all over the place even now, but it's in a much more organized fashion than it was when it actually arrived at the National Archives initially.
Hmm. As I mentioned at the top of our conversation, history helps us understand who we are and where we're going. How are you reflecting on this fact as we now have more insights than ever before on Black American history, our own personal history, and then our collective history?
You know, for me, I feel like we're relearning history. And we're relearning them from, again, from this really specific vantage point of our own family histories. And for me, that's just so important, because as new generations come and ascend to, you know, being those that are making decisions and, you know, making choices, they need to be armed with the full American story, and not one that, you know, that paints people in a particular way, but that just tells the truth and that is equitable and gives space to varying perspectives on things. You know, we're seeing this all over the place. In fact, I live in Tennessee, and in Franklin, Tennessee, more recently, they unveiled a new statue that represents a veteran of the United States Colored Troops, and it's in the same area as a Confederate monument. Yes, we can honor the Confederate dead, but we also have to talk about the more than 200,000 Black men, and not only them, but there were also, you know, women who were involved in the Union effort. And so there's that duality, right, that exists in being American. You know, it's the hot and the cold, the blue and the red in our flag. And we have to always remember that white is what bridges together, right? Those stars and bars, they are joined together by the absence of color, the absence of hot and cold. And that's how we have to live to tell our stories and to tell our history.
That's Nika Sewell Smith, a genealogist who helped compile millions of Freedmen's Bureau records, which are now available on Ancestry.com. Thank you so much, Nika.
Thanks for having me.